Okay, good. So you'll see some pretty cool new things. Okay, so why don't we get started here? Okay. So my name is Barry Schoenmover. First of all, thank you for coming in early in the morning. I appreciate it. My name is Barry Schoenmover. I'm a senior program manager in the operations manager team. I've been with Microsoft since 2004. Worked on management my entire time at Microsoft. So I WS management, WMI, and then the Unix and Linux monitoring within Operations Manager, which I'll be talking about next session, as well as for the last 2 years I've been on the Operations Manager team, focusing on some of our web features and our cloud features. So some of the new features that are coming out for cloud is what I've been working on. So really today what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at Ops Manager 2012 and really understand how it helps customers, you guys, reduce the MTTR, the mean time to restore, which really is the number one measure as to how a product like Operations Manager can help. And we'll look at the IT pro's visibility into the environment. And when we talk about IT pro, we're talking about the people that leverage Operations Manager, the operators. Right? It's your job to make sure that the environment is up and running. One of the things that we're doing is we're adding scope into what you can see in your environment. So a little bit of a journey with Operations Manager. In 2003 or 2002, we licensed from NetIQ Operations Manager. It used to be a product from Mission Critical Software. And Mission Critical Software was acquired by NetIQ, and then we licensed what was called MOM 2000 at the time. In 2004, we brought in MOM 2005, right? 2007, we brought 2007. 2009, we brought the R2 version, which is the current in-market version of Operations Manager, and now we're working on SCOM 2012. I don't really want to necessarily go through each of the milestones and what each of them do or what they've added, but in a nutshell, we just want to show that we're in a cadence. Right? Every 12 to 18 months, we release an update to the product. We continuously improve it and add functionality. And you'll see some of the new functionality in 2012 is stuff that you guys have been asking for a while. Okay, so what we've heard from you guys, we've really heard that the time to value, you want to reduce that. When you invest in a product, you want to get value out of it as soon as possible. And you wanted the visibility to your app health, into your network. Right? It wasn't sufficient to be able to see that the operating system is healthy, that the hardware is healthy. Right? When you're looking at your applications now, your end-to-end service, you no longer just have to worry about the server. You have the databases, the websites, the services. You have perspective. You have network components, storage components, application components. And you want to be able to see all of that. And that's really what Ops Manager 2012 is all about, is giving you visibility into that. The four points on the right, those are our pillars. So as we build all of our products, those are the four things that we keep in mind. We want to make sure that we simplify things, right? It's reliable, so it happens again and again. You can personalize it. Everybody uses Operations Manager in a different way. Consistency, and you'll see that. Right? Depending, regardless of what platform you use, what console you use, we wanted consistency. So if you look at it in the web console, you look at it in SharePoint, you look at it in the full console, it looks and feels the same, and I'll show you that. Okay, so really three things we're going to take a look at today. We'll look at the reduced total cost of ownership, right, in the infrastructure itself, the application health. We'll look at network as well and some of the visualization that exists in Ops Manager, the new dashboard technology. Right? And that's going to help bring visibility up and drive MTTR down. Okay, so let's start taking a look at this. So looking at TCO, a few bullet points, right? We want it reliable, we want it consistent, we want it simple. If you take a look at the way that Operations Manager works today for disaster recovery, for those of you that use Operations Manager, we tell you, take the root management server, the RMS, and cluster it. Take your database and cluster it. And even if you have your RMS in a cluster, there's a bunch of things you have to do, and don't worry about reading it. A bunch of things you have to do to be able to recover from a disaster, from a failure of your RMS. These are the steps that you have to do after the failure. There's a bunch of steps you have to do before the failure. If you don't do those steps before the failure, you cannot recover. So for example, if you don't back up your keys, if you don't have a cluster, if you don't have your RMS set up the appropriate way, you won't be able to recover it. This was a real pain point for customers for several different reasons. Number one, the hardware you had to use for Operations Manager for the RMS was very expensive. You had to cluster it. Even with Windows Server clustering, which is a lot cheaper than it used to be to cluster, you still needed dedicated high-end hardware to do this. Okay. And then there's a lot of setup. With 2012, we've taken the RMS, and it's gone. There is no RMS anymore. There isn't that single point, that single bottleneck. For 2012, to be able to do disaster recovery, you install the product. It's all you have to do. Right? You don't have to do anything else. There's no cluster involved anymore. Still want to cluster the database. That's a SQL thing that we need. But from a management server perspective, you no longer need to cluster it. You use commodity hardware now. Off-the-shelf hardware. So let's see how that looks. So this is how we work in R2. Right? You'll notice over here I've got an RMS with an active passive cluster. I've got my management servers and I've got my agents. Okay? The agents themselves, they all communicate to the management server. The management server talks to the RMS. The RMS writes to the databases. We have two different databases. The main database, this is the near real-time data, and our data warehouse. This is our long-term storage. Okay? A couple things you'll notice here. Right? What does the RMS do for us? It does things like consoles. So every single console, when you fire up a console, it talks to the RMS. So we're limited by the number of consoles that we can actually connect. And if we lose the RMS, nobody can connect into the environment. Right? Things like alert notification, health aggregation, all happens on the RMS. Right? So we've got some bottlenecks that we have to deal with. Right? Performance and scalability issues. And you need high-end clustering and hardware. In 2012, we now have what we call an agent pool, a resource pool. Okay? And we just add management servers into that pool. All the management servers in that pool can now talk to the database. Right? So instead of having the agents talk to each of them, they'll talk to them. Now all of these systems you can see up here can now write directly to the database. If one of those goes offline, the other members in that pool will recognize that and will offload those workflows. So any management component, any agent that was talking to one of the old management servers, if that management server is gone, will fail over automatically to the new one. So that's great when you're dealing with agent technology. When you deal with agentless, and agentless, there's a couple of major areas that fall under what we consider agentless. Network monitoring is agentless. Unix and Linux is agentless. And what we mean by that is there is no true agent that sits here that communicates up. These arrows are actually wrong. This guy talks to the network. If these were Unix and Linux boxes, the management server talks to the Unix and Linux boxes. So there's this one-to-one relationship. And the problem with failure, disaster recovery, and resilience when this management server goes offline, the problem was that you would have to reconfigure the management servers to now talk. Sorry, you need operations manager to talk to the network devices from a different management server. It wasn't an automatic thing. Now what happens is, in the pool, those resources are no longer managed by a single management server, but by the pool. And if one of those management servers disappears, we'll automatically start monitoring it from another node. All right, so now you get disaster recovery and failover for networks, network devices, and for Unix and Linux monitoring, something that didn't exist in R2. Right, so one setup for disaster recovery, automatic device monitoring failover. Device and Unix and Linux monitoring. So let's take a look at the application. Right? So when we started with Operations Manager with 2007 SP1, we now moved into an object model-like monitoring environment. Whereas before we could tell that the server had Exchange on it and SQL, we couldn't differentiate between Exchange and SQL on that box. So if it ran both, if one component went critical, everything on that box went critical. So if I was running IIS on a system that had SQL and SQL went offline, IIS would go critical, even though IIS was healthy. What we brought in 2007 is the ability to break it down into different objects and instances. So now I can monitor the database engine independent from the web engine from IIS. The databases are independent. So now a single database can go critical. The other databases in my environment stay healthy. So if I own a database that's healthy, my colleague owns ones that are critical, he will get the notification about his database. My database will remain healthy. So that's something new that we added. Right? So perspective, Windows computers, web, database. With R2, we added Unix and Linux support. And with that, through partner solutions, things like PHP, MySQL, Apache, etc., Oracle. So I can now monitor other third-party components. I talk more about that next session. Really, three big things that we add for monitoring within 2012: network, .NET, and J2EE. Okay. One of the things that we've continued to do is there's a lot of different things within Operations Manager that customers have come to expect, right? Agentless exception monitoring. Has anyone here seen agentless exception monitoring? You know when, not that this ever happens, but if an application crashes on Windows, you get that little dialog box that says, would you like to send your information to Microsoft? That dialog box, we actually collect that. It's called SQIM. We collect that data. We figure out what the failure was, and then we send that to the appropriate teams. What agentless exception monitoring does is it captures that, and instead of redirecting it to Microsoft, it directs it to Operations Manager. And you can capture, and you can view, and you can see failures within your organization. Okay. So you can drill down and find that information out. Cross-platform is extended, synthetic transactions, Active Directory notifications. So we're still supporting all of that. None of that has gone away. All right. All the existing management packs, I own that. If you were in my session yesterday, it's my butt on the line if this doesn't work. All right, so MPs that are written for 2007 must work on 2012. So when you get RC, you can go get the Exchange MP, the SQL MP, the SharePoint MP, and they will work. Okay. Let me give you a quick demo of the RC version. So this is the RC version. If you've seen Operations Manager, you'll notice it's cleaner. When you see the network demo, you'll see that it's actually quite a bit different. So there's a lot of UI changes that have happened within the RC timeframe. So this is my main console. You notice I've got, in this case, six different systems. Five of them are healthy. One is not being monitored. If I switch over to the web console, you notice it looks almost the same. Right? It's the regular console. It's the web console. For us, it was very important that when you created something in the web console, it appeared on both consoles. Right? So you create a view in one, the other one will just work. Some other functionality that we've added, if you look at the Health Explorer, this is how the Health Explorer normally looks. So you can see I can get health of different components, and there's a bunch of different components. And you'll notice some of them are empty. That means they haven't been monitored yet. Like PingSess, that one's not enabled. Under performance, there's a few that are not enabled. So there's a bunch of different monitors that aren't enabled out of the box, or they're disabled by you guys. But you can see there's a ton of information in that view. One of the things that we added is we added this new filter monitors button. And what it does is it filters it only to the ones that had a state change. So if you were to look at something that has an error within it, I don't have anything with an error right now, but if you were to look at that, you will only see the critical issues, the error issues. The rest of it will be hidden from you because it doesn't matter. Right, so that's one big change. You also notice I've got new dashboard capability. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I'll here's a sample dashboard, right, that has state up at the top, performance at the bottom. I'll show you how to build these in a little bit. Under administration, not a lot has changed, but we've now modified the product so that this area can be extended. So you'll see as we add more functionality, the feature that I'm working on, can't talk about it yet, but it's a web or a cloud-based feature. When you import the management packs, new nodes will light up in here. So the UI is completely extensible now. If you've dealt with Operations Manager, you know what a management pack is, an MP. We have this new component called an MPB. What an MPB is a binary form of a management pack. So MPs today can only have XML in them. They can look at health, they can look at discovery, they can have tasks and whatnot. What they can't do is have binary modules, .NET modules that extend the UI. So if somebody wanted to extend the UI, what they needed to do is they needed to take the MP, import the MP, and have an installer or the user manually copy modules back and forth. And they have to be installed on every computer that had the console installed. So you can imagine if I have 20 people connecting to it, I'd have to copy that to 20 different machines every single time. What the MPB does is it takes that module, embeds it in the management pack, and when you import it, the console recognizes that it needs a module, it goes to the management server and pulls it in real time. So it caches it in memory. So we can extend the UI in that way. It's called dependency download. So it's a new feature that's in Operations Manager today. Okay. Let me switch back. Come on. Okay. So let's take a look at network. One of the things that we haven't really been able to do is networking. We had, in 2007, we had ICMP and Ping and whatnot, SNMP, right? But it didn't give you a lot of data. What we've actually done is a while back we announced a licensing deal with EMC for their smarts technology. We've taken that technology and we've embedded it within Operations Manager. Multi-vendor support, so things like Cisco, some of the major network vendors, HP, etc. Multi-protocol support. And we have this thing called server-to-network dependency discovery. And you'll see that in the demo. What we can actually do is detect that a specific computer is talking a specific port. And now when I look at my end-to-end application, instead of saying, I care about these servers and these services and this perspective, I can now say, I care about port 7 on this switch. If port 8 goes offline, I don't care. That's not my problem. But my server sits on port 7, I care about that one. So I go down to that level. What this does not do is it does not replace the tools that the networking folks in your organizations will work with. How many people here have had to go to the network team to have something fixed? Right. You get that quite a bit, and you go, there's a problem with the network, and they go, nope, network's fine. And you go, no, there's a problem with the network. You go back and forth 6 times until they admit that there's a problem with the network. Now you can show them the problem is on this switch, this port. You're not going to do their job. We're not looking at adding more on your plate so you can do more, but you have visibility into that. So now when you're contacting networking, the networking team, you have the knowledge to have them solve that problem. So let's quickly take a look at that. We'll look at that demo. Let me switch to another VM. Okay. So let me look at the network summary dashboard. So this is a new dashboard. It'll take a little bit to load. You'll notice that the console is darker compared to the other one. This is our beta console. You might have noticed before that the console that I showed you, the RC console, looks very much like Outlook, and that's by design, so it's very similar to Outlook. So here are some of my network devices as they're loading up. You can see a bunch. What I've actually done here is We have a mechanism to discover the network and then freeze the environment. So this is actually a network in building 43, which I'm in building 44 in Redmond. So this is the entire network. So you can see I've got a bunch of different devices here. If I select one of those devices, I'll get some information about it. You can see this one has an average response time of 20 milliseconds. What I'll do is I will navigate to network vicinity view. This is another dashboard that's in here. You can see there's a couple of switches. Let me change it to 3 hops so we can see a little bit more of the network. And you'll notice what will happen now is there's my network. Right? So I can zoom into this particular network and I can pan around, etc. And for each of these, I can select it. I can see that it's certified. This is a Foundry network device. It's a router. I can see its version down here. Here's a Cisco one, again certified. Let me jump one more hop. And I should start to see computers. So what we do is when we discover the servers, we know that the server has a specific MAC address. When we find in the ARP tables of these devices the same MAC addresses, that's how we match them. We call it port stitching. Right? So we know the MAC address on the server. We can see it on this one. So I'm not showing. Oh, let me show computers. Let me drop this to 3, see if that goes a little faster. And that will now show me my network with all the servers associated with it. There you go. So there's a couple of servers. Let me zoom in on that area. So I can see that there's a specific system, right? And this link here, I can actually see the MAC address. I can see that it's on port number 2. So I can see exactly the port that system sits on. If there's a problem, this line will go red. The other thing that I can do is from here I can pivot to another view. They'll give me the network vicinity dashboard. No, not this one. I can go and from this view, let me navigate to the node dashboard. And this gives me specific data about this network device. So I can see yesterday, today, previous 7 days and 30 days, it's availability, it's at 100%. I can get some performance information. If I was talking CPU on this device, I'd see CPU. A bunch of different information, right? Who the contact owner is, the IP address, ID, etc. Right? Any of the ports, whether or not they're discovered and healthy, and any alerts that have been discovered. So a lot of very rich network information is now available to me. As an ops manager administrator. And these are now just simply the same way that they were that anything else is an operations manager. It's another instance that I can monitor. So when I can create distributed applications where I drag and drop components that I care about, I can just choose the network devices that I care about and the ports from those network devices that I care about. Okay. So that gives you a high-level view of networking. Right? Gives me that network map. Summary dashboard gives me summary of all of my network devices, and I can see the detail on health. So now I have visibility into the network. But what about beyond the network? Right? What about applications? So a couple of things. One, we've added support in 2012 for J2E. Okay. So what we can do now is we can discover it's on Windows only today. We're looking at adding this for Unix and Linux, but today it's Windows only. You can see the Java engines that we support, WebSphere, WareLogic, JBoss, and Tomcat. We can discover the servers themselves, and within that availability or discovery availability performance, we can discover the applications running on that as well. Okay. For .NET, we acquired a company called AviCode. Anyone here use AviCode before? If you haven't seen it, it's really cool. What AviCode does is it puts an interceptor into .NET, into IIS, and we can watch the .NET traffic and pick up exceptions automatically. There's no agent. There's no special management pack. You just discover it. We take care of it. So we've got a discovery wizard. You just go and discover your application, and we'll monitor that. And I'll show you some of that in a bit. Right. So we're looking at Our environment. If we look at it today, this is my ops manager environment. And if you were to take AVI code 5.7, which is the in-market version, and you install it, you have this, right? So we have a bunch of extra databases and web services and whatnot, right? So they're kind of sitting side by side. Multiple agents to deploy, multiple consoles to deploy. What you can do now is we have one environment. So when you install Operations Manager 2012, you'll get the AVI code components. You can enable them. The agent is automatically installed but disabled. Once you enable it on that box, we'll enable that agent, and you'll start monitoring applications within that environment. So it's all built into Ops Manager now. Okay. Let me give you a quick demo of that. Okay, so I have this application called Dinner Now. And we've been using this application to demo .NET and a bunch of different components for a while. I can take a look at somewhere in Las Vegas. And what this application simulates is the ability for me to go and order meals and have them delivered to me. So as I go through it, I can see it's running a bit slow. I'll wait a little bit. I'll wait for it to come up. I can also look at the cart, see if that works for me. But I'm seeing that there's issues on this particular application. Right? Let's see what Ops Manager sees. So if I switch into Operations Manager, into the monitoring space, I have my application monitoring, my .NET monitoring. You'll notice I've discovered Dinner Now. So when I ran through the wizard to discover this, this node didn't exist. So I discovered Dinner Now. I went and created the appropriate nodes for me, activated the agent, put in the interceptor into IIS, restarted IIS, took care of everything for me. So now I've got this Dinner Now environment. I can see my different services within Dinner Now. I can see my active alerts that exist on it. If I look at my monitored applications, if I look at, I'll pivot over to the diagram view for Dinner Now. This will show me a logical view of all the components that make Dinner Now. On the web component, I can see that I have two different components. I've got the client perspective, and I've got the server perspective. Main difference is this here is the server perspective. This is what's happening on the back end in the IIS server. And I have the ability also to enable the client side, meaning that I'll install a component on the client that allows me to monitor from when somebody clicks on buttons all the way to the back end. So I'll see from the client, from the browser, all the way to the back end. I can see the different components. Over here I can see the different services that make up my environment. All right. Just give you an idea of that. Let me continue. I'll log in. I can see that I've got some issues with the environment. Let's take a look at what Ops Manager sees. So if I look at the active alerts for Dinner Now, I can see I've got some server performance, some client performance exceptions. Let me drill into that. From here, I can launch the Application Diagnostics console. So this is a web-based console that gives me some information about my application. You can see this is the amount of time that it's taking me to actually access this application. Server response time in this case is about 18 seconds. Well, it's hard to see, but it's 17,990 milliseconds. Network request is 45 milliseconds. Network response is zero. JavaScript took 1 millisecond. You can see I have a threshold here. Oops. Threshold set to 2,000 milliseconds or 2 seconds. Obviously, I've exceeded that. So I can see how much time was spent in the network, how much time was spent the response versus the request. I can start looking at the AJAX call. All right, so I can actually see the JavaScript function that was fired. If I had any SQL back in, I'd be able to see the SQL calls. I can see the browser type. if I was pulling up a web page that had a bunch of graphics, I can see the size of the content. I can actually see the graphics that are being downloaded. So somebody updated a website with a new logo, and the logo was, instead of being 300K is 7 meg in size, I'll see that because I'll see how much time is actually spent downloading the content. We have this thing called distributed chain. So you can see this gray box over here, this is the client, and this is the server. And I can see that it takes 18 seconds between them. So I can drill into the server and see the actual events that have caused the server side. So I can see there's a WCF call, I can see the session ID, the actual URI. I can drill down to the specific issue that has caused this particular failure. And the nice thing about this is I can export this, I can copy the link, and if I can send this link directly to my developer. Right? I can email them that information, I can look at the event properties. And when I share it with them, they'll see this exact same console. The difference will be is that in their context, this is aware of the project themselves, the project itself. So if they have the Visual Studio solution on their box, they can actually, and I don't think I have it installed. Let me see if I can find it here. I can actually drill down and find the actual issue. I don't think I have it here. No, I don't. It'll actually open up the Visual Studio solution and go down to the line of code that's causing the issue. Right? Or within SQL, it'll show me the stored procedure, the SQL call that's actually causing this issue. And there's really two ways to view this data. The execution, this is the developer view. The resource one, this is more of the IT pro view. Right? So I can see internally it takes 17 seconds, 18 seconds for this to execute. So it gives me a lot of visibility, a lot of information about the application itself, my .NET application. So it gives you a real high level view of the AviCode components. Uh-oh. My screen just went gray. Just hang on. See if PowerPoint crashes on me or not. Just bear with me. Let me close it and open it back up. Okay. So, out of the box monitoring, application of applications, discovery monitoring of those applications, very useful dev information. Right? So, now I can tell my developer exactly what the issue is. And this is really the key. There's no custom MP authoring. So, you don't have to do anything other than enable this capability. So if you have a custom .NET application that you've written in-house, you don't have to modify the application, and you don't have to write a management pack for it. So if you've written .NET, we'll be able to monitor it. And the interesting thing was that when we acquired AviCode, we talked to the .NET team, and they said there's no way AviCode can be doing this without leveraging unsupported API calls. When we did the due diligence, we realized they were using only supported APIs. To which the .NET team told us it was impossible to do what they were doing. So, apparently what we're doing is impossible, but it seems to work really well. Okay, so let's take a look at some of the visualization that exists within Operations Manager. So, in the past we've had these dashboards, but the dashboards had a bit of an issue with them. What they did was, I'll get to that in a second. What we did with the console before is we had the web console and the rich console believe it or not, in 2007, were completely different code bases. They didn't share any code. So when we found a bug in the main console, we're going to have another branch.
Например, если мы что-то меняли в основной консоли, нам нужно было возвращаться в веб-консоль и менять там то же самое. В 2012-м это все еще немножко заметно. Вот смотрите, с точки администрирования, в секции администрирования, веб-консоль мы используем для контроля. Если нам нужно администрировать операции, либо какие-то отчетности, отчеты получать, вы переключаетесь на основную консоль. Но только для наблюдения, для контроля я буду использовать веб-консоль. Вот как будет выглядеть основная консоль. А вот как это будет выглядеть на веб-консоли. А сейчас мы можем все это поместить в SharePoint. И в SharePoint у меня здесь различные записки есть, какие-то пометки в веб-консоли, а в SharePoint этого нет. И SharePoint, он такой точечный вид мне показывает. Я SharePoint вид буду использовать для CTO, для менеджеров, которые хотят смотреть за тем, что в системе все в порядке, они интересуют их только верхние уровневые информации, им не нужно какой-то мельчайших деталей, таких подробностей. Им просто нужно знать, что система работает в порядке, либо, если есть какой-то сбой, крупно показать, где этот сбой находится. Информационные панели. Еще, что я по ним скажу. В 2007 менеджере у нас была концепция информационных панелей, но концепция поменялась, и в 2012 менеджере она будет другая. Что у нас было в 2007? Нам нужно было по информационной модели все обзоры составлять. Было три вида. Был статусов вид, был вид на какие-то нотификации, был вид полной работы системы. И все эти окна надо было настраивать самостоятельно. Я это, например, мог сложить в какую-то папочку, сказать своей команде, не надо трогать мои настройки. И все эти три окна отслеживания, отслеживания статуса, работы целиком системы, либо окошко с уведомлениями, я их объединял куда-то. В 12-м менеджере у нас будет 4 окошка. И чем они еще отличаются, информационный панель в 12-м менеджере? Если я хочу создать информационную модель, мне не нужно уже создавать окна, которые наблюдают за разными состояниями системы. Вот смотрите на информационную панель 12-го менеджера. Вот, сейчас я хочу создать новую информационную панель, новый вид информационной панели. Давайте посмотрим, как это выглядит с веб-консоли. Вот видите, у меня какие-то шаблоны здесь есть. Шаблоны Microsoft. Это все доступно из пакета ПО, который вы будете приобретать. Также могут быть добавлены шаблоны других партнеров, не только Microsoft. Мы это все называем IT-информационная панель, которая дает вам стандартный обзор системы, ее функционирования, сбоев или не сбоев. Давайте, я запустил шаблон, запускаю информационную панель. Сейчас мы подождем, пока она сформируется. Вот, мы видим ее через веб-консоль. Ну, практически то же самое. Я буду... Сейчас выберу ее планировку, как она будет выглядеть. Я вот выбрал клеточный план. Хочу 4 клетки сделать. Вот такую хочу, чтобы она у меня выглядела, эта информационная панель. Создаю ее дальше. Вот видите, она создается там на заднем плане. Вот моя информационная панель, которую я создал. Вот. Я ее настроил на обзор тех параметров, которые я хочу наблюдать. Мы создали базу, раму, рамку и 4 окошка. Теперь давайте будем добавлять сюда те параметры, которые мы хотим контролировать. Еще раз, что хочу сказать. Это все можно дальше расширять, углублять, детализировать, если вы будете добавлять там более специфические параметры контроля. Я также могу добавить сюда какие-то специальные графические элементы, элементы окна. Вот, видите, у меня элемент alert есть.
Вот алерты или предупреждения. Я могу выбрать объект. Например, я хочу посмотреть на компьютер с Windows. Там везде alerts стоят. Я могу указать, какие именно проблемы меня беспокоят больше всего. Я смотрю только на новые, не на те, которые закрыты. Я могу группировать колонки по разным темам. Я нажимаю кнопочку Create, создавать. Там мы видим вот на заднем плане, как создаются виды. Вот все виды, все окошки, которые у меня есть. А я еще хочу добавить окно, которое будет отражать состояние работы, качество работы. И еще одну функцию здесь я добавлю. Например, окно состояния. Состояние. Я здесь также выбираю объект. Windows Computers. Вы видите, окна, они идентичны, похожи. Например, для этого компьютера я иду, процессор нажимаю, выбираю. Вот добавляю два. Я могу выбрать продолжительность времени, состояние работы. Я выбираю условные обозначения и даже нажимаю кнопочку «Создать». Вот, и у меня появляется такой вид. Что еще появляется? Я синхронизирую. Я вижу уже синхронизированный вид. Вот справа такой появляется, как шестерня, gear. Я могу... Могу перемещать виды, модифицировать их. Могу менять местами, так как мне нравится и удобно. Вот вид состояния. Я хочу обновить его. Нажимаю кнопочку «Refresh» обновить. И я... сейчас увижу, что все виды синхронизируются. Есть еще несколько функций, над которыми мы работаем. Top N, одна из них. Это значит, что я могу посмотреть на 10 компьютеров, которые используются с наибольшей степенью. Я убираю эти 10 компьютеров и получаю отчет о их работе. И эта информация выводится на информационную панель. Это удобно. Сейчас посмотрю, обновился ли вид. У нас 16 гигабайт, но немножко медленно работает. Вот вы видите, как работает информационная панель. У нас будут новые шаблоны. Мы работаем с несколькими партнерами, чтобы расширить количество шаблонов. Сейчас я покажу пример, над которым мы работали вместе с командой SQL. Это пример. У нас есть еще и живая версия. Вот первые 10, точнее, 10 наиболее активно используемых компьютеров. Вот активные предупреждения для SQL. Что нам еще удалось сделать? Это не так легко показать, но все же возможно. Например, я могу выбрать один из этих алертов и посмотреть, как меняются виды. Вы можете это увидеть также в виде состояния сети. То есть несколько окон могут взаимодействовать, выбирать один параметр, и он отображается в разных видах. Вот такая информационная панель станет со временем шаблоном. Если вы, например, в SQL это хотите сделать, вы можете это сделать. Если в MP4, также это можно делать для заказчиков. Легкая и мощная визуализация – это то, что дается через информационную панель. Как я уже говорил, можно добавлять разные функции. Мы будем вместе с партнерами добавлять новые функции, и они будут предложены в составе так называемых пакетов управления Management Packs. Можно их будет передавать бизнес-партнерам. Мы говорили о том, как можно сократить совокупную стоимость владения инфраструктурой, как правильно выбирать аппаратные средства. Вы можете увидеть работу всей системы, а также работу приложений, состояние их и предупреждения. И вы получаете очень простую и легкую визуализацию. Вот это три основных составляющих Operations Manager. Еще вы также заметите, мы усовершенствуем наши менеджерские пакеты. Теперь они работают и на 7-й, и на 12-й версиях. Это майкрософтовские менеджерские пакеты. В 2012 году вы увидите небольшие изменения, в том числе с участием SharePoint. Когда вы загружаете RC, вы увидите, что вам потребуется дополнительный MP. Вам придется импортировать новые менеджерские пакеты. SharePoint будет поддерживать их в версии 2012. Мы работаем с партнерами. Например, у вас есть несколько менеджерских пакетов, которые не работают с версии 12, но есть средства, которые адаптируют их под 12-ю версию. Мы также будем выпускать версию RTM в первой половине следующего года. Мы еще не обозначили точную дату, где-то в середине, наверное, между первым и вторым кварталом. Ну, а теперь вопросы. Есть ли у вас вопросы по Operations Manager? Пожалуйста, используйте микрофоны, чтобы задавать ваши вопросы. Riven Interface. Да, мы работали над ним. Но это не первостепенная задача была по сравнению с другими функциями. Мы делали Proof of Concept с Riven. Ну, наверное, в следующей версии он уже будет присутствовать. К сожалению, не слышно вопросов, никто не использует микрофон. Вопрос по Авикод. Какие версии мы поддерживаем? От 2.0 и выше. Еще вопросы?
How is the application
А как обнаруживается приложение? Сейчас, если я помню, как это делать, я покажу. Это не автоматически происходит. Мне кажется, вам нужно использовать Wizard. Вот, Wizard. Мы не все их обнаружим, может, некоторые вам и не интересны, и не нужны. Вот, Wizard. Я могу найти приложение. Что мы получаем? Сейчас я вернусь. Например, вы используете пакеты управления, Management Packs. Что вы можете там обнаружить? Можете обнаружить, что есть пул приложений в них на разных веб-сайтах и еще где-то. Когда вы обнаружили вот эти сайты конкретные, например, вот это приложение Dinner, вы видите приложение IS, вы можете посмотреть состояние их работы и детализировать их состояние. Сначала вы автоматически в рамках ISAP обнаруживаете приложение, и дальше уже детализируете его состояние. Мы просто не хотим, чтобы агент активировался на каждом сервере. В этом нет смысла.
Еще вопрос есть? По поводу карты сети. Составляется ли автоматически карта семьи? Ответ – да. Есть несколько путей, при помощи которых вы можете обнаружить сеть. Первый, например, вот все мои устройства. И вы можете эту информацию также в различных форматах представить. В Excel даже, например. Другой путь состоит в том, что вы присваиваете один IP-адрес, и подключаемся к одному этому RDR-столу, и этот один к одному RDR-столу, который подключается, он потом подключается к другим устройствам, и после того, как они так по цепочке друг к другу подключатся, вы автоматически увидите всю сеть. Помните, я видел, показывал вам сеть, там она стояла где-то из 60 устройств, и она подключалась через один вход. Полностью автоматически карта сети у вас составляет. Вопрос. Есть ли еще IP-протокол, чтобы с другими системами общаться? Что мы делаем, чтобы с другими системами подключаться? У нас нет центральной консоли, которая будет общаться с VMM, POPS-менеджером, DPM и другими. Такой консоль у нас не центральный. Вы задаете вопрос, может ли одна консоль с другими общаться, или какой вопрос-то? Да. Что вы хотите делать? Вы хотите получить данные от менеджера, или бы посылать ему данные? Существует несколько видов, как это сделать. Первое. Вы можете использовать наш RPS, чтобы работать с Operations Manager. Вы можете использовать также коннекторы. Вы встраиваете коннекторы в Operations Manager. И эти коннекторы подключаются другими компонентами продукта. Третий путь. Третья возможность. Самый такой хороший. Видите, это через системный... Через системный организатор вы можете это сделать. Эта программа, системный организатор, поможет вам подключить все эти системы вместе. Что я забыла упомянуть, своя презентация. Поднимите руки, кто уже устанавливал операционный менеджер у себя? Например, вам нужно установить агенты, все другие компоненты систем. Что еще мне нужно сделать? То есть сначала все индивидуально установить. Но при помощи Operations Manager там есть специальные настройки. Дайте я посмотрю, смогу ли я сейчас это подключить. Есть всего лишь одна программа настройки. То есть мы берем все разные программы, программы для V-кода, программы по отчетности, программы по основным компонентам программы. И нам нужно запустить всего лишь одну инсталляцию, которая все подключит, все наладит. И не надо три раза сейчас настраивать и устанавливать что-то отдельно. То есть вам нужно будет предпринять одну установку. Что касается веб-части SharePoint, да, веб-часть нужно будет устанавливать в SharePoint. И потом, после того, как вы это устанавливаете, она встраивается, и вы будете это видеть. Еще, может, вопросы есть? Спасибо большое.